What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'm Venus Williams. As an athlete, I know what I eat is directly tied to my performance. Turns out the same is true for active dogs. That's why I feed my dog Harry Pro Plan Sport. It gives him the strength and stamina so he can keep up with me. At the gym, at practice, on walks, we're always on the go. And we wouldn't have it any other way. I'm Venus Williams, and my dog Harry is fueled by Pro Plan Sport.
After you work out, you can feel worn out. But don't stop now. Reach for Core Power to recover right. A delicious protein shake packed with 26 grams of high-quality protein to build muscle. It's the nutrition your body needs to repair, rebuild, and rise to a whole new level of recovery. All so you can power on to that next workout. Champion your recovery with Core Power. Learn more at CorePower.com.
Forever Dog.
You know that there's like elections this year, it's the midterms. There's a mayoral election happening in LA. Man, I'm telling you, I was so zoomed into politics in my 20s, and I am zooming on out.
I mean,
it's so hard to care for so long without seeing any significant change. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. That's so real.
I understand politics is like pandering to like whoever your crowd is, but now I'm just like, are y'all helping me at any way? Like, genuinely, when I, as a Black man, right? As a Black man, I'm being very selfish. I'm like, who's helping me? You know,
yeah,
what I
both
mean?
Both of y'all sound like the old uncle at the cookout that's like, yeah, voting. Nobody need to vote. They ain't doing shit for us. Y'all done did.
I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. I'm just saying it's hard to care that much about
y'all
it.
Y'all got the pajama pants on with the flip-flops. And y'all sitting in the back with your drink that the kids ain't allowed to touch. And y'all, yeah. But what do the politicians do for me? They don't do shit for me.
I was watching. No, sorry. I was listening to Vox today, this morning, and they were talking about the guy who did like Hillbilly Eulogy or whatever the hell that book/movie was. And he's running for office somewhere. And they were saying how like he wrote an article about how explaining to Democrats and to the left, like how Trump won. Because I guess people didn't understand like, oh, the Midwest like matters and the middle states.
Well, there were
matter.
so many takeaways about how Trump won. What did he say?
This is my thing. He was like, oh, the working class whites feel neglected. And it's something about that, and I know people keep saying that, where it hurts my soul is I'm like, all this is happening because white, so what you're saying is working class white people have felt neglected. So we have to make sure like they're not neglected. But like Black folk in particular, I know there's other races, but Black folk in particular,
I know
for me,
I
have
know there's other
never
races.
Been done right. But I gotta sit and listen to white folk be like, oh man, our plant closed down. It's rough. I'm like, nigga, you had a job at the plant, like a good one. Like, I remember my grandfather always talking about like how he was at a plant and he was the first union rep at the plant, and it Like, people hated him at first because he was black, but then they realized he actually gave a shit about, like, the workers. And I was like, man, you gave a shit about all these niggas? Because they didn't like you, even though you got them, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, it was about the job. Even though they didn't like me, it was about the job. I'm like, man, the amount of grit black people have had to, like, work and help people who don't give two shits about them. But at the end of the day, I got to hear about white folk who feel neglected. For what? For how long? For, like, 10 years you felt hurt? And I'm being generous with 10 years. I'm like, literally, I'm looking at like the governors, like the governor of Florida.
For 10 years? What 10 years?
Right. What 10? I'm being nice.
It means the time that Obama was in office.
Obama helped mad white people. He helped so many white folks.
Well, but like, it's, but that's the whole thing, right? Is that the reason nothing ever gets done is because if you try to please everybody, you're not going to please anybody. Like, you're not going to please.
Oh, right.
There's never a way to actually take care of everybody at once. So it's always handing, you know what I mean?
Like, I quit. I'm over. I quit.
But that's what it is. Like, that's, there's always somebody who needs to be taken care of who's not getting taken care of.
You ain't taking care of me yet. This is my thing. It's a line.
I mean, oh, and just a reminder for everybody, this is not a political podcast.
Thank you, Bray. Thank you.
Dang, in the cold open.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is a little bit it's a little bit relevant to what we're discussing today. But how tuned into politics are you, James? Do you feel like
not at all? Literally not at all.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
Not in the slightest. But I'm just talking about this as an idea. Like Jarrah is saying, now I have to listen to the white men who feel slighted. But it's like, you know, I've seen the Goodyear factories and downtown Akron getting worse and worse and worse for as long as I've lived there, you know? And so it's like, you're talking about 10 years, but like, that's been going on. Like, people have been ignoring the Midwest.
No, see, this is my thing. My thing about this is the Midwest, I get that. My thing is like, black people have never been taken care of. Even the fact that I just saw like the governor, that white dude, the racist white dude, the governor, I call him racist, I don't care. Whatever the fuck face name is. I just saw like he did these laws outlawing like certain books. Florida, like the Florida governor, you know, the one who don't give a fuck if people get COVID and shit?
Oh, yeah. The distinguished gentleman.
How dare you? How dare you call him the distinguished?
The distinguished gentleman from Florida. Right?
Jarrah was so mad. He was on a train. Jarrah was on a clear train. He had a point he was trying to make.
And you just...
What did I do? I was trying to recall, and I remember now, from Florida, the distinguished gentleman.
No, Bray. We were talking important things, and then you just...
I'm sorry. You're right. I will let the distinguished gentleman
have the
floor.
No.
So you're calling me the distinguished... Who? You know what? I don't want no parts of this. Where's Melissa?
Where's Melissa?
Melissa, unmute my mic. I want no parts of it.
Okay. Maybe we should start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Jarrah Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I would like to know how many members of the Chairman's Committee are African American. None. Well, surely there must be a Latino member of the committee. No Latinos either. Mm. What does... I couldn't get... Wait, hold on. Well, does he have any Asians or Native Americans on the committee? I couldn't. This was incredible.
Is there at least a gay or a handicapped member?
Handicapped or gays on the committee? No gays.
That bit was so good.
That was amazing.
No gays. Mm.
That bit was so good.
For those of you who are listening right now for the first time and you're wondering whose voice is who, the voice that you are listening to that sounds like that of a measured, responsible, trustworthy politician is Jonathan Braylock.
You know he lying. You know he telling you all kinds of lies to your face.
You know what? To be truthfully honest, Braylock does sound like a politician. You know that nigga swindling the shit out of you. You know what I'm saying? That nigga.
All right, and that hating voice.
The moment Braylock's like, how's your day? It's like, ah, no, nigga, don't. No.
It's bad. It's going bad. I don't want no part. This Honest Abe voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
All right. And this voice is James the Third.
You sound like you're going to rob somebody.
We have a cartoon on.
Because your voice, James, sound like you too nice.
We are a film review podcast, okay? We review the films of leading Black actors.
Tell them again.
We talk. Okay, we review the films of leading Black actors.
Well, he said.
We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Ooh, nigga, don't get me started.
And today we are reviewing the 1992 film, The Distinguished Gentleman, starring Eddie Murphy.
Yo, Eddie Murphy went through a phase where you couldn't tell if he had a perm or just a really shiny haircut. Because I was like, what is happening with the side of his hair? It's like, it's a perm, but it's
a really
shaped up.
Shiny haircut. The haircut is shiny.
Like, is it greasy? Is it mousse? But anyway.
This film also stars Cheryl Lee Ralph. Excuse me.
Rock.
Was it?
Yes. Rock.
Oh, yeah.
What's his real name?
Charles S. Rock. Dutton.
Charles S. Dutton.
Always delivering a sermon at all point. Like, they even talk about it. There's a point when they say you're stuck sermonizing or whatever it is. Oh, incredible.
Victoria Rawell and Shy McBride from iRobot and Boston.
Hey.
And this movie, it cost $50 million to make, according to...
There's just no way.
Wait, no way.
There's just... Somebody needs to get some money back.
Oh, did they film at DC? Did they film in DC or something?
I don't know how this cost $50 million to make, but that's what it's telling me on Google.
No way.
It 50? Made $86 million at the box office worldwide. Except, wait, hold on. Box Office Mojo says it only made $46 million worldwide. Oh, it says it only made $46 million domestic. What's even crazier to me, I think, Rotten Tomatoes, 13%.
There's no way.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? 13%?
13%. 36% audience score.
Huh.
I don't believe
it. All right. Well, okay.
I don't believe
now, a lot of these review, I mean, they're all white people who reviewed this movie. Every single one.
It's always that. It's always, I mean, how many black reviewers we got? Even when it comes to black movies, I'd be looking at these niggas that be getting them. I'm going to bring it up on the pod. Fuck it. Oh, I'd be looking at all these people who get all these care packages, gets to go to the premieres, and it'd be movie starring people of color. And then when the white person give it a bad review, I'm like, see, y'all fucked up. If y'all had brought us there, I'd at least laugh for 20 minutes in the podcast before you're saying your movie sucks. Should have gave me that care package, okay? Wait. You think I ain't want to come and take a photo on the red carpet?
This is no. Not the way for us.
What are you talking about, Bray? I'm just saying. Because the white people do it anyway. They do the same shit. I'm like, just let me do it so you have hope. Let me give you what you don't give us. Hope, Nick. It's like, nah, I'm playing. But still invite us. I want to come. I want to say what's up.
Okay. So that's that. This film is basically about a con man who decides to run for Congress because his name is the same name as that of the congressman who died before him.
The only unrealistic thing about this for me is that he was trying to match the names, but a con man running for Congress.
The most unrealistic part of this to me was when he actually won and everybody was still cheering for him. I was like, I don't believe this. I don't believe this one bit.
What's the Republican congressman who looks like a fish? He used to be...
Who looks like a fish?
Yeah, he like a weird fish. He used to be before the Democrats won... No, not Ted. But you know who I'm talking about, right? He used to be in charge of like the House, like before the Democrats lost.
Well, Ted Cruz, definitely.
Mitch McConnell. There you go, Melissa.
Oh, he looks like a turtle. So you got your
okay,
animal.
Mitch
wrong.
McConnell looks like a turtle, and for you to call him a fish.
No, he looks like a blow. He looks like a little fish.
And Ted Cruz looks like the blubber fish.
You threw me off. He was also a part
yeah,
of the
you
Senate.
Messed up.
He looks like a fish.
No, he looks like
yeah,
a
that's
turtle.
My fault. They all look like weird little animals. I'm just saying that dude a con man, because he done swindled everybody for like a long time.
Well, yeah,
won.
Of course, and he's. Yeah, I mean, should we get into it? Do initial thoughts? Because I don't mind starting.
What?
All right, go ahead, brother.
Oh, I have no clue how this is going to start with Bray.
Go ahead, Jonathan Braylock.
I have no clue if he's going to like it or not.
I love this movie.
Why is he smiling like this?
I don't understand. What? How did this movie get 13%?
Because he's a black dude making fun of old white folks.
You know what? I think this movie was just... I think this movie was way before its time in the sense that in the 90s when this came out, people were blinded. Okay? Like, this came out when America just was fully racist. You know, like, income inequality is about to jump through the roof. But people thought it was like the middle class was about to disappear, but people thought it was going to last forever. And this was like the Twilight era of that. And so people probably were like, well, this movie's boring. Like, politics isn't that bad. And you look at this movie now and you go, yeah, I know. Everything, not only is it movie believable, but it's like, you're kind of just like, the core philosophy of the movie is just so undeniably correct. It's just like, yeah, he's a con man, and the greatest con men are in DC, and they're just, it's the easiest way to just make money that you don't deserve and just con people out of money and not have to do any work. And I was just like, yeah, absolutely. I love that Eddie gets to do all these different voices and stuff. Like, it's like it all made sense. It was fun. It's not my favorite Eddie Murphy movie, but I still thought, I was like, this movie definitely, it was a solid good movie. Like, it's crazy to me. But my only explanation for it is that I feel like it just, at the time it came out, people just didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear the message, you know? I mean, and then maybe people were getting tired of Eddie's thing. It's hard for comedians to last that long. This time he'd been, you know, killing it for almost 10 years now. So it's like, you know, it's like that always happens. The comedian star always kind of fades. But for me, not having seen this before and just seeing it now, is like, I thought this movie was going to be terrible because I saw that Rotten Tomatoes score before I started watching it. I was like, oh no. But it's not at all.
Let me look up the highest rated black Rotten Tomatoes films.
What?
I'm just curious to know what black films do well on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. I'm sure Black Panther did well.
I mean, yeah, we know Black Panther did, but I'm just saying, what's the other ones?
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies. Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. you know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in JUMP under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. JUMP under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Clif Kid, makers of Z-Bar, the win-win energy snack bar for kids. Kids love the soft baked texture and delicious flavors like chocolate chip and iced oatmeal cookie. And parents love that each Z-Bar is packed with wholesome ingredients like organic oats, with no artificial flavors or high fructose corn syrup. Clif Kid Z-Bar is the winning snack to fuel active kids that everyone in the family can agree on. Visit CliffKid.com to learn more. That's CLIFKid.com.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami.
No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, well, I'll go while Gerard does this research. I really like this movie. I couldn't remember if I had seen it before. And then as the movie was going on, I realized that I had definitely seen it before. I think this is the first time I heard the phrase, put my foot in my mouth, take my foot out of my mouth. And it started to hit me when he starts caring about the fences. I was like, oh yeah, or the electric telephone poles or whatever it is that he's like, once he starts caring, I remembered like the beats of that and how he gets through it in the end. Is this the most character voices Eddie has done in a movie? Like, he plays so many different people. It's up there, right? If not, because he plays, we hear him as all the voices we know him to do. And then there's like a few others in there. It was really cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it right now. I am also shocked that it has such a low score, but I think exactly what you're saying, Bray, is right. Like, people weren't ready for the message. They didn't want to hear that, you know, but I just love that. Like, by the end of this, he's just like, yeah, like, I'm not going to be accepted in Congress, but I have a great head of hair and I can talk shit. I guess I'll run for president. It's just like, yep, that's all it is.
Look, man,
Gerard is solely the reason this has a 13%. Gerard flooded the internet with negative votes.
No, look, man, I like the message behind the movie. But you know what? This is my thing. I do love the message. I think it was like cool. I thought Eddie was funny in it, but I don't think I like the movie because of Eddie. Like, I don't know if that makes, like, I think like earlier on, but when he's doing all the scheming and stuff, it was like, I know it's a comedy, but it almost was like too much Eddie doing Eddie, where I was like, I can't take this serious. Cause it was like him, but then he was like smooth and like trying to be a love interest. And it was like, we knew he was gonna like, you know, change who he was and like come around. And I was cool that the little white girl, he helped the town with the white girl and like her mom. Like, that's cool. I don't know if I like the movie. I think I like the attempt of it, but I don't know. Like, for instance, I'm not gonna lie, I was hella bored. I was watching, and I can't tell you why. I think it might have been because of like, I was hoping like Eddie would have been a little bit more grounded at certain points. Like, at the very beginning, it was just so much like fast talking, wheeling, dealing. I'm like, this feels like the character from Boomerang just now running for, like, what was it? A councilman, a congressman. But yeah, I mean, we watched it. It's, yeah, man, I got to see Moesha's mom on this jump, her stepmom. So that was cool.
Moesha's mom?
Yeah, that was cool, man. I got to see her. I got to see Rock, the woman from the Young and the Restless. She was great.
Oh, is that the love interest?
I'm going to say my grandma used to love Young and the Restless. And I'm like, I know, wow. I know her. I know
She's
I know her.
She's been in 739 episodes.
I auditioned for Young and the Restless. And then I lost it to Michael B. Jordan. So, no, I lost it to Chadwick. I lost it to Chadwick.
What is that? That's just like 4 years? Like, how many years? How many years of Young and the Restless? That's like, that's
no, like, since 19, it's from 1990 to 2007.
Damn.
And that's like some real, that's some different type acting. Like, you're doing like some, telenovela, like, you are my mama. And then they do the zoom in.
A lot of schmacting. I always think of movies. I always think whether you like movies or not are also always about when you see them, you know what I mean? Like, where you are at personally.
That is true. Also, I think I'm over politics, because I think you're right, bro. Like, I am so tapped out, and like, I know we're about to come up on a midterm, and I'm like, I don't like none of y'all. Like, I don't like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, because I can't not vote. But I'm like, at this point,
feels like an exercise in futility. No, I'm just kidding. Don't everybody go out and vote.
not a political podcast.
I mean, I don't want the, I guess I don't, you know, I definitely don't want a Republican Congress again. God, the Supreme Court's already 6-3. Somebody else might be leaving. We got to get another.
Gerard very calmly muttering that a Democratic one wouldn't help either.
Very quietly muttering under his breath. Who you want? Who do you want? The people that's going to be honest with you and tell you they don't care about you? Or the ones who are going to lie to you, like take you out to dinner and then screw you over later? I don't know. It depends on your poison.
It's really just balance. It's just got to get some balance. Anyway, we're losing all of our listeners.
They know this is not a political podcast. They
with
like us.
This? So you didn't like this beginning little con? Because I liked it. I thought it was funny. I was laughing.
You know what it was? I think once the fake boyfriend came in, and then Eddie kept going, and then he was like, yo, get him in the bathroom. It just felt like that opening scene was like 10 minutes. And I was
like, a lot of these scenes probably could have been tighter. Like, not like, I don't even necessarily think that you had to lose whole scenes. It was just like, you could have tightened it up.
Yeah, like this movie's in an hour 45. It could have been an hour 30. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I do think, but also it's one of those things where like, and maybe this is just his energy at the time, but like, this does feel like Boomerang to me. It does feel like every like smooth Eddie Murphy character. And I think Eddie is a really good actor. So I was like, it would have been cool if he just like, I don't know. It feels like he could have been a little different, but it's, you know, that's in hindsight. Yeah. At this point, I was already annoyed.
Yeah. And this is also at a time too, where, I don't even know. I can't even say that it's different now. But like there is something that people are expecting from him almost, you know, in way in performing and in, you know, and so like there he's even, you know, he's probably directed a certain way too, you know, like even if he because he does have like moments in this. There aren't a lot of them, right? And they don't even really come until the end of the movie, really. He is sort of like a two-dimensional con man for most of this, yeah?
Three-dimensional once he has a love.
Yeah, exactly. Now he cares about something.
Because this came out the same year as Boomerang. Like, came out the exact same year, and it felt like the same wardrobe, felt like the same dude.
Well, that's just a general thing about comedians, like comedy actors to me, which is, do you do different things or do you do the thing that made you famous?
That's tough, yeah.
And I think the people who are always successful, like generally, like there are very few people who do different things. They usually almost always do the same thing, you know? Like there's very rare times you get like a John C. Reilly, you know? Like, cause even like Jonah Hill, who's done a bunch of different stuff, like when he was doing his comedy stuff, he was still kind of doing the same thing, you know? Like,
that's true.
I just think that it's tough though. It's tough because it does start to, at a certain point, people are like, all right, I've seen it, you know, you get tired of it. I think for me, because I saw this out of its time, and I hadn't seen an Eddie Murphy movie, you know, in a bit, like we haven't reviewed one on the podcast in a bit. I was like, oh yeah,
good point.
I was like, oh yeah, the Eddie shtick. I love it. You know, like it's like all the delight, like he's delightful. He's poised. He's fast talking. Like, but also feels like a person you want to like, you know? And he does this, so they do this whole bit about, like, he comes in as a cop. And it felt, here's the thing, too, I will say, sometimes, and this is true of all the kind of con or, like, fast-talking kind of movies, sometimes I feel like the lines they're saying are funny, but I don't believe for a second that the other person in the scene would actually believe them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But like this time I was like, for a lot of it, I felt like I feel like this is believable that he would get, that he could make these people think about whatever, you know, like when he came in, like the way that he did the way that this con operated, like it started to push a little bit of boundary, like towards the very end. But like in the beginning and what he was doing, like, I was like, this feels believable to me. Like this feels like a con that's funny and it's still like, it works, you know?
What's so funny is this con is in, I mean, it's not the exact same, but it's basically the same. And Will Smith and Margot Robbie's movie, Focus, is how Will meets Margot Robbie, is that like, she picks him up, takes him back to the hotel, then the angry boyfriend comes in and tries to like, extort him for money, but he knows the con. So I'm just like, oh, look at this. This con was must be like a real thing people would do. Because it made it 20 years later.
Yeah, I mean, I even also felt like I've seen this, like, in the slapstick way, like, how it's played in this, in other movies, too, I feel like, you know. But it was, yeah, it did feel like, the setup of it was, like, very much like, yeah, so far, I buy it.
And then, I mean, you know, it was a movie, so they had a very little convenient moment where he's, like, hiding and he overhears people talking about running for Congress, and he's like, I don't know if I'm gonna run, and he's like, what if I give you X amount of money? And then he's like, well, then I think it's my duty to run. And then he's like, man, I gotta get into politics.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy because some politicians, you know how much they're supposed to make, but like where they live in DC, I mean, when they, sorry, their DC place, a lot of them have is like in the most expensive part of DC, and I'm like, ain't you only supposed to make like 150-200K? How the fuck y'all affording this? Don't make no sense. I was even watching. No, that was not a political podcast.
They give them those places, don't they? Or do they not?
I don't know. Sometimes I do know, like, it's so tricky because some of them have really nice row houses, but then some of them share, like, some of the politicians, like, oh, I guess they don't have that much money. So, like, three of them will, like, share one when they're in town. But I'm like, so where are the other ones getting money? Like, Nancy Pelosi is, like, really good at Wall Street. Let me stop. We're not a political podcast. I'm not about to talk about Nancy on this show, Bray. What? I know what you did,
already
Bray.
Started.
No, Bray. Anything. Bray tried. James, you saw it. I saw it. And then Bray tried to be like, hey, yo, how are their houses? And he knew I was going to go on a tirade, but he's not going to get me today, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to get me today.
I saw it.
Because we don't do politics on this show, okay? We talking about Eddie Murphy and his slick back fade.
Yeah, don't let Bray trick you, Gerard.
Not with the slick back fade, James. Okay, back to Eddie. Eddie trying to swindle because the white politician, he dies because he was with his side chick.
Oh my God.
I wish we could address how scandalous that could have been. He just died like with a side chick. That's crazy.
I know, he died in the middle of an affair.
Like, that's like a crazy. Could you imagine if some Bill Clinton went down and it was like, how did Bill die? Like, that would be a big deal.
Could you imagine? I feel like I would be so scarred if somebody died while I was having sex with them. That's
Oh my God. Oh no, that feels terrible. That'd be terrible. I mean,
it's kind of weird because that never really comes back into play. Like, she's in the movie still, but like she's not a real character. Like, it's that part was kind of weird. I was like, well, if you're gonna keep her in the movie, like,
address
you should
it?
Probably do something with her.
I mean, I don't think this movie passed the Bechdel test, but you know, it was in 1992.
The Bechdel test. It's just so funny to think. It's just so funny to think that it even could. Like, you know what I mean?
but it could have, because you had Cheryl and you had, like, I mean, they had two lead black women in it. It could have just been a scene with them just like hanging or like.
Yeah, but what would they have? They don't have anything to talk about. You know what I mean?
Well, actually, there was a scene with them. There was a scene.
Uh-oh, does it pass?
But did they talk to you?
I think it does pass because there's the mom. The mom comes in with her child who has cancer, right?
Ooh,
and they,
yes.
I don't know if she's a major enough character.
Oh, I mean, they no, do. No, they I, do.
Yeah.
Well, that scene, technically, they're talking. Ooh, good point, Brick. It's tricky because that scene, they're talking about Eddie because they're trying to get to Eddie, but then the mom explains what's happening with the daughter to Cheryl, so that's them talking about the daughter.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
What's the mom's name, though? Does the mom have a name?
Come on, man, don't do this.
She has to be a name.
The child has a name. The child definitely has a name. I feel like she does. I don't know.
Let's see what the mom's name is.
I don't remember character names.
Don't do this.
The mom definitely has a name in IMDb.
It might be mom. What's her name's mom, though? That might be the character.
Don't do this.
It might be. Hold on, let's see. It might pass, though. I scoffed at it, but now it's like, hold on. Maybe this movie passes.
Anyway, he dies.
Is it Juba?
He dies. Then all of a sudden, Eddie. How does Eddie find out that he died? Oh, he saw it in the paper. And then he decides to run based on name recognition. And he like, his scheme is now in and underway. Because that way, it's technically, he's technically a con man trying to go legit. Because he's like, yo, we get this job. I can like finally give y'all money. You know what I mean? Like, so he's trying to go legit. He just went to the dirtiest business in the game. Politics.
I mean, I would even argue that he actually is not trying to go legit. He's trying to continue a con. And then midway through, he realizes, oh, actually, maybe I want to be legit. Right? Like, because up until the business with the power lines or whatever, he's just like he's still trying to game the system for as long as he can game.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He cares a little bit about the love interest. Yeah, he doesn't really care into the power lines. He's not really trying to go legit.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video. Discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
The thing that I liked, so they run on name, like he runs on his name, like this guy dies, he's like, I'm going to run just on name recognition. Like, you know, it's because his mom like tells the story about like people voted for a dead person, you know, because they didn't know that the person was dead because people don't pay attention. And I literally thought this is 100% accurate because, I mean, like it's not exactly that way now anymore, I guess. But like, even when I'm involved with politics, I'm still barely involved. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm still like, who do I vote for? Especially for like, if it's like council member number 5, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know who this is. Like, give me a card. Like, somebody tell me who to vote for, you know? And it's like, oh, I trust this person. This person says vote for this person. I'm like, cool, I'll vote for this person. But most people, a lot of people just vote for, they just see Republican, Democrat. I'll vote for the Republican. I'll vote for the Democrat, you know? It was a funny kind of thing. And like, they have this whole campaign where they just like cut out the names. I love the scene where she's just like fielding calls and she's just like, no, he will not do the interview. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, he will not take a picture.
Honestly, and I think, his promo is like, he doesn't even want to show you his face. You know who he is, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
it's just zooming in on his name. It was like, you know him, you know who to trust, you know what I mean?
Yo, honestly.
And what's funny is they keep saying, they like never lie. It's always like, the name you know. Like they
the name
never
you know.
Say,
the name,
the
you,
name
know.
You trust.
The name you trust. They never lie. They said fraud and I was like, it wasn't fraud. Like they didn't there was no fraud. He didn't pretend to be somebody else. That's his name, you know?
What was he? Was he like a Democrat or Republican?
He ran on Silver Fox Party. He ran on a third party. And that's why they were like, and that was the thing. They were like, well, we need to get the signatures. And he's like, or we can go to someone who has the signatures already. Oh, that was the older guy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Older guy had that, you know, and he was like, well, why would she trust you? And you'll never win. And he's like, I will because of my name. And he says his name. And then she's like, oh, snap.
Yeah, it's like she with this swindle too. Like I did like that part. Like everybody's in on it.
I'm saying, but this is and then he wins after all of that. You know, the name you know, the name you trust. Everybody votes for him. He never takes any pictures.
Never takes any pictures.
Then he walks out to accept, you know, his accept that he got.
So like Caribbean music
and like everyone, even the white people who knew this dude was a white name that they vote for all the time, everyone's cheering for him. I was just like, what is this?
I think that was his, I think that was the Silver Fox people.
The, oh yeah, the older wasn't people. That? I think that was I think it was the older white people who voted for him.
Oh, okay. It was the
yeah. Listen, I do want to, and just so y'all know, when I get old, I do want to get into politics. I want to like go back to DC.
Oh no.
I want to be, you know, a Reagan that's good for the black community. You know what I'm saying? An actor turned good one.
You want to be a good Reagan?
What does that even mean?
He just means an actor turned politician.
But I want to be, I want to
that's
be,
all you mean, be, right?
I want to be actor turned president, okay?
James is like, wait, please say that's all you mean. No,
right? I cannot now, or will I ever say, that's all that I mean.
You could have said Schwarzenegger, you could have said.
Nah, he wasn't high enough. He wasn't important enough, okay? He didn't have enough impact. Reagan is the reason. Why do I keep talking about politics? God damn it. Who picked this?
Because this movie is about politics. First of all, you picked this movie.
I'm never going to get invited, okay, to the correspondence dinner. Yeah, the correspondence dinner. You know what I mean? I want
to
go.
Why would you never get invited to
because
that?
Because I'm just shitting on presidents, okay? What do you want me to say?
That's why you would get invited.
Oh, that's
what
point.
You do.
No, but they do it there because they feel safe. I'm doing it in real life saying, no, I really fucking mean it. They be having Trevor over here, like, hee hee ha ha. He ain't American. I'm like, no, I know y'all got a history of fuckery, okay? Like, it's a history of fuckery with you and the person before you and then your friend Tito over there, too. You know what I'm saying? Tear all those photos down from the Great Hall, you know? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
You would be invited to a Democratic president's...
Nah, they don't want me either, because I don't... Nah, because I'm going in on them harder, Bray, okay? Going in on them harder, all right? Let me tell you why. Because they show up to your house, they eat your food, tell you what they're going to do, and then you know what they're going to do? You know what they're going to do, Bray? They're going to help Mary Sue next door, and she ain't give these niggas no food, okay? They came to our cookout.
Gerard is a staunch centrist. He's not on either side.
They came to our cookout, Bray. They was over here hanging with me, trying to teach them how to play spades, and then they're going to go outside, and I see them next day like, hey, yo, what happened? Oh, man, we had to help out Mary Sue. We had to make sure her lawn and her house was paid for. Who the fuck was that? She didn't come out and feed you, okay?
Have no clue who Mary Sue is.
Bray, you know Mary Sue, Bray. Bray, you know Mary Sue, Bray. Bray.
Mary Gates, maybe, I know.
No, Bray. You know Mary Sue, Bray. You've seen her.
All right. Where are we?
He just got in office. I like this. I like he gets up there and the guy that wants to be his AA is like, is already hitting him with the swindle. And he's just like, you're swindling me. Like he appreciates the hustle. And so he just hires him on the spot. I thought that was cool.
That was great.
They ran on that campaign of like, never show up to anything. No one ever sees me. He gets the like shitty office. They like have it file certain things, like, and so there's a lot of stuff he's behind on. And this dude helps him out, which
yeah, and he also knows absolutely.
I didn't like this dude though already. You know what I mean? It already felt like something was gonna be up with him.
Why like they never respected him? Like he still didn't respect him throughout the whole thing. He didn't earn any respect. He was still throwing stuff at him, and I was like, good. That felt right. He threw the pin at him, and it hit him, and he heard him on the screen go, "Ow!" I was like, yeah.
As much as that guy is a like a brown noser and stuff, up until the point when he like turns and just helps out the other guy, he is carrying Eddie through. Like there's certain things that Eddie doesn't know. And this guy is just like, there's that point where he's literally feeding him lines. Granted, it's just so that he can hit on homegirl, but he's feeding him lines to say. And it's like, yeah, like you don't gotta.
That's his job. That's his job.
That's what politics. That's the thing that's so funny about this. The thing that I loved, let me say this. I'll say this. My favorite bit in this movie, hands down, is when Eddie goes in and votes, has zero clue what he just voted for, just hits nay, comes out, and they're like, what did you vote for? And he's like, and then he sees the two guys who also came into Congress.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, why don't you tell him what they voted? We voted for, and he's like, one says like we voted for what was it? Children, like, oh, clean air.
Clean air for children, yeah.
But first they try to just do politician speak to like to talk around it, you know. We voted on the reverse of the last appeal and then an appeal to the first question. Like they're just like
on a motion to the question to the appeal. Yeah. And they're like, no, it was a motion to vote for the appeal of the, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And then and school lunches is one of them.
And then it's clean air.
School lunches and clean air. Yeah.
Yes. Clean air. It was school lunch, clean air. I was like, this is great.
Because to me, see, this is the thing. This is why I was like, I respect this movie. Because I was like, the easy thing to do is have Eddie come in and be like, he has no clue what he's doing. And all these other politicians are running circles around him. But instead, he came in and he was like, and he says this multiple times, like, I'm not different from anybody else here. And it's true. You're watching. You're like, yeah, he really is. He really isn't. Like when the one guy, when those same two guys, when he first meets them, he was like, oh, what did you do? He was like, I was like a firefighter. Like what? Like, you know, like they did nothing, you know, like, and you're like, oh, right. And then you think about it and you're like, but that is who politicians are not always like. They don't necessarily have like whatever credentials that we think you would have for a normal job. And then people get promoted to chair. Like when Trump got elected, he made freaking like Perry. Was that his name? I forget all these people's names now. Remember, he made him like head of like energy. And it was like, what does he know about energy?
Yeah. Well, there just isn't that like there aren't like just clear steps to get. To get whatever the promotion is, or to get whatever the job is. And what I think is cool about this scene, but then also the conceit of this movie as a whole, is we were kind of talking about this on the Associate movie, which is like, it's oftentimes we see with movies like this is we see like the like black hustler criminal or whatever that like hustles their way into the job, and it's like, oh boy, are they ever going to get found out, you know? But this movie is like making a commentary on politics as a whole by saying everyone is doing this job. And so it's like you don't fault this movie for having that trope, because like that is the point, that ends up being the point of this movie, which is really cool.
It's yeah. Like the whole like will they find him out isn't even that big of a plot point. Because you realize some way through the movie that they know who he is, and they're just like, yeah. They don't care. Because they're like, oh, great, great. Like, if anything, they're like, good job. That like, great campaign. That was really smart. Yeah.
No, they were like, when he goes and he's like thinking this about to be a real bad thing, they're like, man, we were out here on the trail doing these interviews, and you ran on name recognition and known. Genius. It was like, they were so hyped. They were so hyped.
They're like, oh, my God, brilliant move. Congratulations. You're smart, and you deserve to be here.
Yeah, it's like, great. I mean, you know, if people at home are like, this would never happen. I mean, outside of the president we had, I just read this interview about like that one white congressman who wants to be AOC, who like got caught at the airport taking a loaded gun again. He's like the guy in the wheelchair, but like low key, he's kind of really shady and nasty. The little young dude. I'm like, that dude was like a nobody. And then now look at him. You know, I feel like we could run. We could run. Can we? Can you not run as a trio? Is it rules? Is it rules?
You can't run as a trio for one position.
Yeah,
but we can share, because it could be like a hydra. It's like we could do different things. I can go curse out certain people. You know what I'm saying? James could be super nice, but like you can go talk to the white people, make them feel comfortable. You know what I'm saying? I could be like,
Gerard's position is to curse.
I will say this too, like the thing that they don't talk about this too much in the movie, but I was thinking about it when I was watching it. I was like, that's right. A politician's job isn't really to know like the issues outside of knowing to be able to say enough to get elected. Because a politician's job is to get elected, and that's it. And that's to get elected and to raise money, and raising money is to get elected and for other things, obviously. But like that's it, you know? And so how this thing works, it's like, it's just so like the idea of the movie, maybe the idea of the movie is greater than what the actual execution is. But to me, the idea of the movie is just so flawless. Like, it's so genius that I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, absolutely. A con man running, like, yeah, and you would be a great politician because that's all that politicians really do. Like, even when they have a good heart, they still have to sell stuff to people, you know? His speech when we skipped this part, but his speech after he got elected, when he was just doing clips from other people's speeches, like,
so funny.
Yo.
So funny. Ask not what your country can do for you.
Do for you.
But he also, not only were they clips from other speeches, but he also never completed,
never completed
a thought.
Not one.
And in closing,
read my lips.
At one point, I was like, yo, is this supposed to be like this?
And they all go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have nothing to fear. Like, just no.
Also, there was one point that I really loved. And the thing is, I was like, is this racist? But it felt so right in the movie when Eddie has the little van and he's like going around on the speaker and he's like doing every nationality, like every ethnicity. I don't know why it made me laugh because they're all literally every voice he has become in a movie. Like, you know, the Jewish one was coming to America, like the Asian one was in Norbit. So like all the voices he's done in the flesh before, but it was so funny when it was the black one. Hey man, put that down. Every time you eat that, you think of Jefferson. I was like, this, he's so good. Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it was.
He needs an R-rated comedy. That's what Eddie needs. He needs a good R-rated comedy.
What, you mean new R-rated comedy?
Yeah, like a new one. Like he needs like a, Like we need a comedic Tarantino.
Well, remember he did. I mean, this was several years ago now, but he did. Dolomite is my name.
Dolomite is my name. And I guess he's in that new Kenya Barris movie.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order, and they ship samples to you fast and free.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation. Plus, they're 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Oh, and then he immediately is like, there's a guy that's talking to him and is telling him, I loved how everybody was like, cool. Like, they were just like, yeah, everybody was giving tips. They were like, yeah, so that's the leader of the power, you know, the Energy and Power Committee. You know, that's the honeypot. Like, they get the most donations out of anybody. He's like, okay, cool. He's like, you want to work your way up to that. And then he goes to a guy and he's just like, how do I get on that committee, you know, immediately? And he was like, well, how do I get on that committee? And the guy was like, well, you know, it takes about like 6 to 8 years and you work your way, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, okay. And then he's like, well, how do I do that? How do I shorten that? And he's like, all right, I guess you could do it in 4 years. And he's like, how do I do it in 4 days?
How to do it now? How to do it first thing?
First thing, like 4 days. And he's like, well, that's impossible. You know, it's unheard of. No young congressman has ever been put on that committee. And then he goes, unless? I guess unless the president said it or there was, you know, some pressure by, I don't know. Yeah. And then we get to the bit that James did, which was a great bit. I love that bit.
It's so funny.
That bit is so good. That might be my favorite part of the whole movie, yo.
Well, no, it's just because we were talking before about how things needed to be cut in this. And that's the one. This is the one thing where I'm like, nope, could have gone on. I could have heard another 4 minutes of this.
The length of that was perfect because he just goes down the list of, and also for that, I mean, I know where we sell ourselves as a society short because now it's 2022. You're like, that was 30 years ago. Even though you're like, 92, that was also, you know, 30 years after civil rights. So,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah. It's still to for him to go down the list of every single minority group.
Wow. It was. Damn. It was 30 years. Wow.
When he handicaps the gays. No gays.
No gays. No gays.
Oh. It elongates it. It's
Do MLK. I mean, it was brilliant.
Yeah. Yo, it's just like when he goes, "Hello, guys." It's like, why are we just emphasizing that? And it's just like, you look around the room, it's just all old white men. And it's like, this is great, man.
Beautiful con to get onto the committee. By the way, completely believable.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. 100% believable. I was like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Listen, man, I'm going to say this, and I mean this out of love, because I know he did it with the kindness of his heart. Barack Obama had to do something, yo. This is a young black dude
had
who got
just...
that nomination. I'm like, where, hey, man, I don't know what he did. I can't. Like,
where, yo, is this coming from?
Look, we talking about how Eddie was a young black dude who scammed his way on this committee. Barack got in the White House, dog, and he was young. He was young. I ain't never heard. I remember my parents made me watch all those, like, you know, DC, everybody got to care about. I remember watching the DNC, seeing him pop up, like, when he was nobody. And you know how they have, like, the up-and-coming people, like, talk during the, like, before the commercial breaks? And he popped up and was all smiley. I remember going, who this nigga? And next thing I know, the next DNC, he was running. I was like, what? That dude? Barack, yo, hey, man, I applaud it. But if Barack becomes like 80 years old and has one of them Quincy Jones type interviews where he just starts spilling the beans, I'm going to be like, brother, you did what you had to do. Okay? You did what you had to do. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't even know what I'm the team, point is exactly.
I'm team B.O. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, are you... I can't tell if you're for Barack or against
him. I'm team B.O. Listen, I will say this. I have no problem with black folk having to do what needs to be done to get in some of these circles. Because white folk been swindling, scheming, killing, pillaging for years. Like, in politics, and we just like, oh, this is cutthroat politics. They're just doing politics. I'm like, all right, bet.
Reagan? You become the black Ronald Reagan? Here's my question for you, though, Gerard. Do you want to know the skeletons in his closet? Like, do you want to know if he did something? Do you know what I mean? Or do you just want it to be known that you understand?
I want to know how he got away with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, teach me the lessons. All right. This is my thing. I do believe that, like, I love, the one thing I will say about this movie, Braylock, you convinced me. I like this movie. What I love about this movie is that Eddie is an open swindler, like, open about it. He talks about it throughout the whole thing. Like, he doesn't care. Even at the end, he still ends the movie as a swindler. All right. And I love that because to me, when I think about a lot of politicians, all they do, like, we literally, what sucks about politics is, like, every time we joke about it, like, we expect a politician to come give us a speech and lie to us in the speech. Anytime we expect something to get done, people always, like, they say the phrase outside of actual government, oh, it's just politics, when, like, swindling or, like, back deals have to happen. And it's usually involving people of color, especially black folk getting screwed over. So I get to see this black dude do the same moves and swindle it. I'm like, yo, teach everybody. You know what I'm saying? Come on, let's have a sequel, okay? Let's have a black lady in that joint. Let her get on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so this movie... Okay, so, like, midway through this movie, you know, he meets...
Celia?
Yes. Celia Kirby, who he kind of hits on. I feel like she was a nice, strong character, you know? Like, she, like, didn't fall for him right away. It was... very much like, hey, like I also want to talk to you about sexual harassment by congressmen. Oh, we forgot that scene in the elevator when they're first coming in.
Oh, Della
in.
Reese.
Yeah, that was Della funny. Reese.
Like, you want to touch my ass?
And he's like, no, why I would not? No. What? Why not? the other congressman. Yeah.
The other dude goes, I'd touch your ass. And I was like, oh, I thought we were going to see more of her actually in this movie.
I know. She was great.
That wow,
was great
she's thing. Uncredited in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Rude.
Some in a camp, you know, she just showed up.
Oh my God, this is what she looks like now? How? Yo, black women, I love you. Like, I'm looking at Victoria right now. She has beautiful gray locks. This woman doesn't look... She's 65. Man, please, Lord, help me out. I mean, these people are beautiful. Sorry. I just, like,
me.
if you Google her, it's like, you would never know this woman is in her 60s. Like, it's just impossible. Like, it's thoroughly impossible. Lord have mercy.
You know, I thought, like, the development of this felt nice. The pacing was nice. I like that bit with, like, we already mentioned the computer screen. You know, he's...
Yeah, that was funny.
But, like, the common clad. the dad who's a preacher, that's I was a little bit confused as to what.
Oh, the uncle, he was like uncle or something.
Oh, he was the uncle. I couldn't quite track what. I know he was on the ethics committee, and he was a congressman too, right?
Was he? Yes, he was. Was he a congressman or was he a?
He was both a congressman and a reverend at the same time. It felt like. I think he was a congressman because remember he was like, "I'm gonna run for the chair of the committee," you know, and he's like, "I bet I'll beat you," you know. I couldn't. It was a little strange because he was still preaching. I couldn't tell exactly what he wanted. Like,
He just wanted Eddie to be honest. It felt like he just wanted him to be like better. Because I couldn't tell what his wonder was either. And then like when they first meet him, they kind of drag him a little bit for being like kind of snakey. And I'm like, oh, so maybe he just wants to see him do better. Because then at the end, he's kind of like smiling for him, like, yeah, he did it. But like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why he cared so much. Maybe he just wanted to do right by people.
Right. But basically what happens is he kind of blows up at this guy who became Dick Dodge, who became Eddie's like protege. I remember this dude, Lane Smith. He's in Adventures of Lois and Clark.
He was the paper guy.
Yeah,
he was the head of the paper.
Yeah, yeah, he was the head of the paper. Yeah.
Yes, the bad coach in Mighty Ducks. Yeah,
he was the judge in.
Yes.
Oh wait, no, not the judge. He was. Was he the other lawyer in My Cousin Vinny?
Oh, he was in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
It's funny because now I only remember him from the Mighty Ducks because he was the one in the black.
Yeah.
And when the rich boy went to his team. When Rich Boy went to his team, he's like, we got him. And then the Rich Boy left and went back to the Ducks.
He plays such a good bad guy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, and he's been a bad guy in a lot of movies. Basically, they do this thing where he's like, he goes to Eddie. He's like, hey, can you, you know, smooth things over? Maybe I went a little bit too far with him. They try to. This scene was a little slightly confusing. Basically, some person just rear ends them and then like does a hit and run. And Eddie winds up calling him because he's like, oh, this feels like it's not good, like it, like scandalous.
Because I guess the one dude was drunk, but she wasn't drunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he wasn't driving.
Oh yeah, I guess it must have been the.
Yeah, maybe the fact that it was a car accident and they were like black, they were going to assume something happened.
I couldn't quite get it. Obviously, when Dick got a hold of it and made it be like, oh, he was intoxicated in the car with a known like phone sex worker, then that sounds ridiculously scandalous, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like when Eddie got caught, never mind.
What are you about to say?
No, because remember, it sounded like when Eddie got caught and when he had the prostitute in the car. Y'all remember that?
I do remember that.
Got caught with the prostitute in the car.
I do remember that time.
It was like when something was random. It was like the
90s.
It was like him and Martin had back to back like incredibly wild situations that happened to them, like in like the late 90s, I want to say. It was like Hugh Grant and Eddie Murphy, and then like Martin Lawrence went crazy. Like not crazy, but he started like spazzing out on the streets of LA. Anyway, this has nothing to do with it. I don't know why I've been on tangents. I'm sorry, y'all. Back to the movie. You know what is so tricky? Because as the movie's going, it's just like white people scamming and Eddie trying to scam them. And then all of a sudden, like the white dude tries to have like Eddie in his pocket. But then, like, the one thing I did like, and this is something that really does bother me, because I think, Brain, when you say like this movie does feel kind of realistic, on the daily, someone recently talked about, like, maybe it was John Oliver, someone recently talked about Flint, Michigan. Like, in 2022, it brought up the water in Flint, Michigan, and how in 2022, majority of the water is still bad in Flint, Michigan. And, you know, 2022. Oh, my God, that's what it was. So John Oliver specifically talks about, like, schools and stuff being in some of these plant areas that have been giving people cancer, like how they get away with it and how politicians help push things under the rug, even though people are dying, little babies are getting sick. And so watching this, I'm like, oh, this is such a big deal. And so it's interesting to see that like Eddie kind of comes out a winner at the end of this. And I'm like, it's so interesting because I don't think these things are truly easy to maneuver, because it's clearly Flint still has bad water. Like certain schools are still surrounded by power lines. You know what I mean? Like these things still
I mean, it's so funny because I was like trying to read some of these negative reviews, and like people are like, "Oh, this the plot is so farcical, like it's so unbelievable," and I'm like, the only thing unbelievable about the plot is the end, like, you know, is like there would be no good ending, like. Even if he caught a politician doing this, that doesn't mean that these power lines are going to get brought down. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean squat. All it means is that this one person might take a hit and they'll just fill it with another person who's just like that person, and the scandals will continue, you know? It's so interesting. Even the power lines thing, I was like, huh, I've never heard. I was like, wait, do power lines cause cancer? And I looked it up, and like, it's still to this day, you know, studies are still, they still have the studies that are like, no, they don't. Not really. Like, these studies say that they don't, you know? So I don't know. I'm not here to say if they do or they don't. I'm just saying, like, that the device of the film, like that whole story with the film, like, oh, like these power lines are clearly causing cancer, and like politicians don't want to do about anything about it. Well, if that is true, that's still happening today, because there's no clear consensus that power lines cause cancer. And if it is true, then that means that money is throwing it, you know, and that's the thing is that.
Yeah. It took whatever these reports are.
And here's the other. Oh, the other scene that I really liked was when they get together. Because it wasn't so it was like Eddie's been swindling just like everybody else. Right. But he has this moral conscious thing because he sees a little girl with cancer. He's like, well, this is something, you know, that doesn't feel right, you know. And they're like, and he's like, come on, it's cancer. And the dude goes, look, man, everybody hates cancer, but you know how much it would cost to move those power lines? It would cost $5 billion. The power industry will hate you. You'll be the person who increased everybody's taxes. The school district will hate you because they'll have no money because they have to move too. And then like the company, it's like, it was like this litany of things. And he was like, so it is like, it's not worth it. And I was just like, that's exactly what happens in Washington every single day, where they go, it's not worth it to change anything. Even if we know it's kind of right, we still won't do it because the economic cost to change all this stuff, like, and then the people who will be against it, it's not worth it, you know? Yeah. And I was just like, God damn. And like,
No, I was like, this Lily, I was watching that thing earlier, and one of these guys who lives in a town with these kind of power plants, I guess they had a town hall with the company, and the PR person goes, we chose the path of least resistance by, like, he said, why did y'all do this in this town? And it was like a black town, like a small black town. And he's like, the path of least resistance. And it's like, yeah, this probably happens everywhere. It's like, this poor white town, that poor black town, put this shit up, because who's going to defend these people? Actually, you know what? Brandon's movie did deserve. That's why I didn't get good ratings. Okay, it didn't get good ratings because the government, the man didn't like that the secret was out, and he didn't like that a black man, okay, y'all think it's a game, but it's really not a game. Let's see who those reviews are. Bots.
This was
bots, Bray.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, the reviews are from
in 1992, ain't nobody know who the hell Rotten Tomatoes was. So you know what was happening?
Well, no,
Rotten Tomatoes was paid. What happened?
No, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't employ the critics. They aggregate reviews from other publications on their website.
That sound like, come on. Bray.
You know how Rotten Tomatoes works,
Bray,
by now.
That right there sound like the swindle itself. It sound like we ain't got nothing to do with this. It sounds like, hey, we don't know why these black movies are getting reviewed like this.
This is 1992's The Interview. Like, once the man figured out that this movie was being made, they were like, how do we bury this? And they figured out how to bury it.
Hell yeah.
They buried
it. And by the man, we mean the government. The man. Let me stop before they cut off my mic. You know what I'm saying? Let me stop.
They cut off his mic.
There was a great line early on where the guy's explaining. He goes... He's like, all right, what's your... Man, see, there's so many scenes in this movie I love. He goes, what's your stance on this thing? And then he goes, And it's like again, one of these scenes in a con movie where he has to con his way out of not knowing. And instead he just goes, you know, I don't know. What's your stance on it? He goes, I don't care. And he's like, whatever. What do you want anybody for? You want to be against? He was like, what should I be? He's like, well, if you're for, like, you'll get... you know, donations from this organization, and that organization. If you're against, you'll get donations from that organization, this organization, that organization. And he goes, okay, again? Yeah, what? He's like, all right, why don't you be against? Okay, why don't you be for this? And then he goes, I have a question. If there are so many lobbyists on each side of this issue, how does anything ever get done? And he goes, they don't.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna, that was what I was gonna ask earlier, is I couldn't remember if it was in this movie that they literally say nothing gets done and they're just like fine about it.
They don't. It's amazing. I think they might even go as far to say they don't. That's the beauty of the system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 There's also that part, I don't know if this is roped into that scene or if this happened earlier, but when he's like, when he comes out and it's like, listen, I don't know much about chicken farming or whatever it is. But if you have something to say to me about chicken farming, I will listen. And that's it. And the entire banquet of people like stand up and start cheering. Like,
yeah, they like look at him and then they start cheering. And it's like, yeah.
That's what would happen.
Yeah.
Guys, this is sad.
Guys, Donald Trump was elected the president of the United States of America. He was the president of the United States of America for 4 years. This man never held a government position in his entire life. He is observably dumb, like, to anybody who's just listening to him.
No, except I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say to you, like the TikTok ahead. I just watched said to me, Trump is a real nigga. Trump is a real nigga. Think what you want about Trump. You might think he's a white supremacist, whatever. Trump,
listen,
he's a real Nick.
He is a king con man. He's a king swindler. So it was like, to Gerard's point, not only is this movie incredibly believable, it happened, but at a higher level.
I mean, it's the end of this movie. The end of this movie, he's like, I'll be president.
Yeah. And what did Donald Trump run on? Name recognition. That's what he ran on. Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. They know his name because he spent...
His name is on buildings he don't even own.
That's what he does. He rents his name out to buildings. Because why? And why would people ever pay for it? Because he was able to make his name synonymous with being rich. And he did that by appearing in a lot of movies, like doing, having flashy things. He then had a freaking show called The Apprentice on NBC. Like, when you watch that show... which I did the first season, you realize, like, he knows nothing about, he doesn't know anything about business. Every time he said something, you were like, this person, he, what is he talking about? He's just saying words. But he just became so synonymous, yeah.
Well, that's because, Bray, like, every good businessman behind him is an old white dad who gives them a lot of money. I just found out today that Elon Musk had got a bunch of money from his dad. And I was like, oh, I do respect when people can turn $1 million into $20 million. But I'm like, nigga, you ain't start from zero.
Wait,
though.
I learned that Elon Musk didn't even start Tesla. He bought it.
No, he bought it. He bought it. And then I was at the dog, that made me sit up. He bought it after it was already like functional. It wasn't even going under, bruh. Like, he just bought it. He did. I mean, from what he did with, what was it, eBay, apparently he did have a big hand in eBay or whatever. But even that still came from, if I give one of y'all $1 million for an idea, okay, I expect y'all to do something with it. If you lose $1 million, I'm like, well, goddamn. And then I
he just got upset. Gerard. If y'all could have seen the body language Gerard had, he was so, he got up. His whole body was activated. And then some thought made him so sad, he completely.
Because this is the thing. Every time I hear about some of these families, like whether it be like the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, like these people, and you like trace back, I used to be so fascinated by them, and you trace back like where a lot of them got their money from, and it's like, Black people got called criminals for so... we get called gangsters. We get called so many names. But then there's so many families who made so much money from bootlegging and criminal activity that somehow became legit over, like, the decades. And now it's, like, these dynasties or whatever. And it's like, yo, we just started the game so late. You know what I mean? Like, we just...
It's all about who makes the rules, you know? Because here's the thing. Like, that how do most people, like Elon Musk became the richest, you know, person in the world because of the stock market, right? Like, and ostensibly, that's how they all become like as rich as they are, because the stock market, they own so many shares in a company that they may be CEOs of, and that continues to rise. Stock market is nothing but gambling. Everybody knows that, but it's legalized gambling. But like, these are the things, like gambling were some of the things that like Black people, like you can be running a gambling ring and you get, and you're arrested for it because it's not illegal to do that unless you have the proper license or the proper blah, 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 blah. It's like, and why do you get those? Like, why do you even need a license? Like all of it is just, it's just BS put, you know, into the system. Again, this is not a political podcast, so that Black people can stay down. I mean, and it's, you know, it's not just Black people, obviously, you know.
No, bro. It's okay. It's okay. We talking about Black. We can talk about Black folk because Black folk been getting swindled because we built the country. This is my thing. Someone had to school me on the podcast, okay? Because they were like, I would say Black and they say people of color. And it was like, yo, it's okay for you to say Black. And I've been realizing it's okay. I feel like as Black people, we're always taught to include everybody. And that's okay. But it's also okay to be like, yo, this country has fucked over Black people. Like, that's fine. That's a fine. It's like, yes, there's other people. You go to Savannah, you know who built those docks and shit? You go to the White House, motherfuckers take photos and go on tours. You know who did most of that? People who look like us. You know what I'm saying?
So anyway, there was also another line and towards the end of this where Eddie Murphy's like, was like, yeah, I am a con man. I did most of those things. And what's crazy is I came here and I was doing the same things here, but now it's considered legit.
That's real, dog. Like,
yep.
That's real. That's real. Real
lobbyists
deal,
are legal.
Feel.
It's not some like nefarious thing. It's a legal thing. Money goes into our politics. It's not even hidden. You know what I mean? It's just everybody knows and understands it, and that is what it is. And we accept it. The Supreme Court decided to rule that businesses are people. That's a real thing that happened. Businesses count and they have the same rights as people do. So, again, this movie is like, I mean, like, I don't know. It's crazy. Like, if anything, could this movie have gotten harder? Sure, but I feel like it went hard enough so you could understand it. The thing is, it did have a happy ending, which is not realistic, but it's like, it's cathartic when you're watching a movie to have a happy ending. But anyway, I don't know. I don't have anything else to say.
This is not a political podcast. It's not.
What tally is that?
This movie.
This is number 58.
No one's keeping count. No one's keeping count, James. But I do think this movie could have had a swirl, all right? But not the swirl that not the swirl that you're thinking, okay? Because normally the swirl is between, like, you know, a Black person and a white person. But this swirl is between a Black man and a White House. You know what I'm saying? And I think this swirl could have been, like, we could have saw a scene. Instead of hearing Eddie talk about, like, I'm going to be president, we could have seen him quickly, like a quick montage of him saying it, him running. And next thing you know, he's the first Black president. And he's just sitting in the Oval Office with his socks off and his feet on the table. That's how you know you're comfortable. When your socks are off, that means you know you're at home, all right? You've been there. He's rubbing his toes all on the floor, okay? That's how this should have ended. It should have been a Black man entering that White House and making that house his. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. We deserved it.
The swirl should happen. A Black man fucking the White House. Is that what you're...
No. I didn't say that. I said he enters the White House. Okay? He enters the White House. All right? That's all I'm saying. That's it. That's all I want to get out. That's
all right. Well, I'm just saying, this is what I needed to happen in this movie, because I really like this movie. But there was one scene that was missing, okay? So the power lines, you know, Eddie's all upset about the power lines. It's like trying to get the power lines down. The white politicians are like, no, you can't do this. We can't have the power lines down. So in the middle of the night, Eddie goes up to the power lines, you know, and he tries to start figuring out how to dismantle it. You know, he's lost his mind, okay? And then, but he can't get it. He doesn't have the right tools. Then all of a sudden we hear from, I got you, Thomas Jefferson Johnson, I got you. And it, cut to, Steele is right there. With his, he got his hammer, and he's knocking up the power lines. Go down, boom, And like, and as there's like a, there's a huge surge of energy. The surge goes into the hammer, you know, Steel's fully powered up. You know what I'm saying? And then, and then he's able to, the energy is able to like disperse. And so then now there's global, there's worldwide power, you know? Yeah, there's worldwide power. There's
worldwide
now.
Power?
Yeah, because it grows into Steel, right, and Steel's able to, right, Steel's, right, Steel's able to just,
so ridiculous.
Steel's able
to, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel the film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If we feel the film somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for The Distinguished Gentleman. A one, a two, and a three. All right, three black fists.
You know I was going to give it a black fist. Braylock, you wouldn't be over, okay? I love this movie. It makes sense. And now it makes me never want to watch CNN, MSNBC, C-SPAN, Fox News, World One News, Truth News, Lord Knows the News, but any of those programs ever again.
OAN.
OAN is real. OAN is real. Truth. All those publications I said were true and stuff are Lord Knows News, but the rest of them are real news.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of black actors in this movie. Did it help them become the leads? I don't know, but it certainly didn't hurt, you know?
Agree.
Thank you so much for listening. You can rate and review us on iTunes. If you do that and give us 5 stars, we'll read your reviews on the air. I'll do that in just a second. Also, please donate to our Indiegogo campaign. We're halfway there. We're almost there, baby. Halfway.
We're halfway. Come on.
We're so close. You can find a link to that on our website, blackmanpodcast.com. Right there, you'll find a link to our Indiegogo campaign. You'll also find a link to our defunct Patreon. We don't have any more new episodes, but we do have a year's worth of episodes. So if you've never listened to that, subscribe, listen to
if
those.
200 people tweet at me.
James, stop this. James.
I tried.
All right. You can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And here is a review. This one is by Tyler the Goat. Parasite.
Ooh, nice.
I was listening to the Parasite episode, and can't believe y'all let the Scar Joe Jojo Rabbit joke fly over your heads. All right.
Oh.
I don't even remember what the joke was. We'll have to go back and listen.
I hadn't seen Jojo Rabbit at that point, though, I don't think. And now I'm like, have I even...
I cut Jojo Rabbit on.
I didn't watch it. Jojo Rabbit, though, I think.
You can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD. You can also follow my indie comics company. You know, the comics aren't coming out to the end of the year, but follow it. It's at Rule of Three Comics. Three is the number three.
That's wonderful.
You know, just putting that out there.
That's wonderful. Cool. You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. We will see you next week. Peace.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.